Blog Talk Radio.
Clown Hour. As I said before, I'm the aforementioned Scott Burks. I run the sports blog called The Clown Times. It's Clown spelled with a K. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. Or you could, and I should say, you should find us on Facebook as well. Just do a search for The Clown Times. Again, it's Clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find us there. Special treat tonight. I was checking up my man, Daniel, I think it's Trawick or Trawick from sportshoundblog.com. He's a brother who has a lot going on with in the world of sports. Big NFL, big NBA guy. I check out his work. His work is great. Just like I said, check him out on sportshoundblog.com. So without further ado, we're going to talk a little NBA, you know, what went down at the trade deadline, why certain teams suck, and who's going to emerge as the team to beat in the East and in the West. So without further ado, this is my man, Daniel Trawick. So, Daniel, what's up, my brother? Welcome to the Clown Hour. What's good, man?
Hey, what's going on, Scott, man? Thanks a lot for having me on.
You got it, my brother. So first of all, is it Trawick or a Trawick?
Trawick.
Trawick, okay, got it. I should have stuck with the first time. But at any rate, before we get to the podcast, I want the listeners to kind of feel for who you are and what you do, because, like I said earlier, I checked out your sports blog. I love what I see. I love even more with the fact that you're affiliated with Yard Barker, which is through FoxSports.com. So before we get into that, just tell the listeners about yourself, like where you're from and what got you in the sports blogging, and kind of like, you know, start at the bottom, now you're here type of thing.
Well, let me see. I'm trying to figure this story out, but excuse me. I am a passionate Philadelphia-born and raised guy. So, okay. I mean, right off the bat, you know, I'm passionate about my sports, and I'm not a fan of none of the Philadelphia teams. So,
what?
Yeah, that's odd enough as it is. But I grew up a Houston Rockets basketball fan, Hakeem the Dream, you know, one of my favorite players behind Charles Barkley, who ended up playing on the Rockets. Let's see, the Browns. First football game I went to was the Eagles versus Browns preseason game back in the late 80s, early 90s, when they were actually still good. And I've been a Browns fan ever since. And as time went on, you know, I played pretty much every sport there is, including chess.
Okay.
Yes, chess is a sport.
All right.
And
okay.
I always had a love for sports. And a few years back, I had another website. It was pretty much like a social network type site. And friend of mine, he said we should do some writing on the site. So we just started doing some writing, playing around. And then somebody seen our work and asked us to write for a magazine, and I've been pretty much writing ever since. And as time has gone on, I've gotten more into it. You know, as you said, I'm syndicated through Yard Barker, which is under Fox Sports and MSN, and I'm also a contributor writer for Yahoo. So I just love talking sports. It's fun. I have a good time.
Dude, that's awesome, man. So the Yard Barker basically finds you, like, pretty much after you and your boys started writing, you started getting noticed with a magazine, how did it go down?
It was about 2-3 years after I started with that magazine, and I've written for a few other publications online, and I'm trying to think. I think I actually approached Yarbrucker because I used to scour the internet back in my day for sports news and rumors and stuff, and I seen Yarbrucker over time, and then as I got more into my website and the blog, I figured I'd see what's it all about, and that's when I basically applied to become a contributor writer for Yahoo and Yarbrucker. You know, I sent them some of my work, and they
that's great.
I guess they thought I was good enough to be a writer for them, so they let me in. So I'm here, and I'm loving it. It's fun, and you know, the added exposure to the site is really
right.
great.
Right, that's awesome, man. Seriously, that is freaking awesome. That's great. So
thanks a lot,
go
man.
Back to your sports teams for a minute. Oh no, no worries. Go back to your sports teams. You grew up in Philly,
mm-hmm.
born and bred. So did something happen? Like, because I think I'm probably a little bit older than you, but we're probably around the same age. And did something, like, you know, because you got the 76ers back in the 80s when they were good. And, you know, because I'm a Knicks fan, so, I mean, another kid could get as worse as that right now. But at any rate, but you have the Sixers. You got, I mean, of course, the Phillies weren't all that great until recently. And, you know, it's Phillies is still Eagles town. And the Eagles have most of the time been competitive, at least since I started watching football in the 80s, mostly competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But what turned you off from the Eagles? I know you're a Browns fan, and God bless you, by the way. You're one hell of a fan to be a Browns fan right now. But what turned you off from Philly sports? I'm just curious.
Nothing turned me off from Philly sports. You know, I wanted to see him do well,
okay.
but
gotcha.
I just went with what my heart went with. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s watching the Eagles because that's all that was on my TV was the Eagles and the Sixers. And, you know, I was the biggest Jerome Brown, Reggie White. Man, that team that they had, Randall Cunningham, I thought I was Randall back in the day. I loved those guys, but they didn't win anything. Mm-hmm. My Browns, of course, didn't win anything either since my existence. But, you know, I've always loved those guys. And as far as the Sixers are concerned, Dr. J was my man. And could nobody in the world tell me Michael Jordan was better than Dr. J back when I was a young boy. So, you know, and still to this day, I don't care who Michael Jordan is. I'm still going to say Dr. J, he was the originator. He still was that guy that, you know, Michael Jordan looked up to Dr. J and emulated his game after him a little bit. And, you know, you could say the same about a Kobe Bryant who grew up emulating his game after Michael Jordan. So I'm a Dr. J fan, but, you know, my mom she was a little frugal is what I'd say. And, you know, she shopped at Payless and, you know, that was my basketball shoes. That's where the Hakeem Olajuwon was at, the Dream. So I got my dreams from Payless.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I got turned on to Hakeem. And
gotcha.
I actually seen him
reason.
Play, and it was like, wow, that's a 7-foot guy that's out there moving like that. That's amazing. So I've been a Rockets fan ever since.
So, which leads me to, because you said you gave Dr. J a lot of love, and as well as your boy Hakeem Olajuwon, the Dream himself. So, give me your Mount Rushmore. I know this is Rock the Cup, but give me your Mount Rushmore of NBA greats, because I'm sure you've heard over the past couple of weeks people like arguing, debating about who should be on the Mount Rushmore NBA greats. So I have a feeling yours going to be a bit different from everybody else, but just give me a four off the top of your head if you could.
I mean, my personal four or who I think are the four top ever to play the game?
What the hell? Just do both for me. Just go through your heart and just go from what you think,
The four best ever, I'll go MJ, who I don't like. I'll go Larry Bird. I'll go Magic Johnson. And I'll go Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are, I think, the top four to ever play the game of basketball.
Gotcha.
And my personal four. Personal four is Magic. I go Hakeem. You know, a lot of guys put Shaq over Hakeem. I just don't see it. But I like Hakeem. I like Hakeem. I like Allen Iverson, the best small guy ever to play the game of basketball.
Wow, that's a good one.
And who's my fourth guy? I just was talking about this. Michael Jordan still. I can hate all I want, but he was one of the best that ever did it. But
right.
That's my personal four.
Well, you know what? Going back to who you think are the four greats, those were on my Mount Rushmore of NBA greats. I was debating, to be honest with you, I was debating on whether to keep Kareem or to put Bill Russell on there. Because Bill Russell is only the greatest winner, right? Of NBA history, and he was one of his best players too to go along with that. Because, you know, you got not that this guy was a scrub, but Robert Horry, who won I think 7 or 8 rings, but he wasn't a star. He was a good player, wasn't a scrub, but he was not a star. Bill Russell was a star, a superstar rather, and won 11 titles. You know what I'm saying? 11 titles.
Yeah, it's easy to put Bill Russell on there. Honestly, I mean, he's what we call the Lord of the Rings. You know, he has the ring.
Right.
And back in that point in time, you know, they had some coaching issues in Boston, and he coached the team as well. So, I mean, if you take everything into consideration, I mean, he didn't have the greatest numbers. He didn't blow you away with Kareem numbers, who played a mighty long time. But, yeah, he won, and he wasn't a scrub on the team. Like Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob, I'm a fan of his ever since his rookie days in Houston. And, you know, what he did, he was a big part of those teams that won championships, but he wasn't the star. But, you said, Bill Russell, he was definitely the star of those teams. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked or surprised if others, you know, put him over top of a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. And some, because I know in LeBron's case, granted, we both know, and a lot of people who follow the NBA closely know that it's so interchangeable. You know what I mean? People have, like, Oscar Robertson up there. I mean, the only cat to average a triple-double for a season. You know, some people have, you know, you mentioned the greats. Some people have, Dr. J up there on theirs because he was the first one in rarefied air. You know what I'm saying? He was the guy who bought the slam dunk contest for the NBA. You know, for the ABA, he helped usher that in. I mean, without Dr. J, there's no Michael Jordan. You know, so it's a fun debate. It's a favorite debate of mine in barbershops. I mean, because barbers, you know how black barbers get, right? I mean, we could.
Oh yeah,
they talk
yeah,
about
how
that all day long. Exactly. I mean, I don't have any hair anymore, but still, I mean, I do remember the good times.
I don't go to the barbershop. I got locks. I stay out the barbershop.
You stay out the barbershop. There you go. Well, going from the fun to the downright horrible, let's talk about the Eastern Conference for a minute.
All right.
I mean, outside of Miami and Indiana, it's like, who cares, man? Who gives a bleep? I mean, Toronto's like in third place, but they're 4 or 5 games above 500. You have Chicago, who's doing the thing outside of, Derek, what's his last name? Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless them. God bless them. I mean, talk about snake bitten, right? I mean, but they're still doing their thing. Brooklyn's starting to win just a little bit. Of course, my Knicks are terrible, but we'll get to those Knicks later. Why is the East outside of Indiana and Miami so doggone terrible? Why are they so damn bad in your eyes?
Well, I mean, you mentioned it. You know, Derrick Rose being out yet again. You know, that's a major blow to one of the top teams in the East. Brooklyn, they made a lot of moves, but Deron Williams, I don't know who he is anymore. He used to be one of the best out there.
Right now,
he's just another guy on the team, and they have a bunch of aging guys trying to go get that ring. Let's see. That's pretty much all you can basically say. I mean, Cleveland, they have young talent, but they're just not there yet. And New York.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And
Exactly.
I mean, Toronto, I like Toronto. I figured Toronto would be a playoff team. I didn't expect them to be this high in the Eastern Conference, but I did figure they would be a playoff team. And you know, one of my Philly boys, Kyle Lowry, he's been playing very well this year, and he was snubbed again for All-Star spot, I think. And, DeMar DeRozan has been playing well. I figured they would make the playoffs this year. I didn't think they would be doing this well, but, you know, it's not a surprise to me. And, you know, a lot of teams, I think, honestly, no matter how you look at it, they know they're not that good. And the players don't want to lose, but it's pretty much tanking for the draft. That's what I think is going on a lot in the East. A lot of tanking.
And speaking of which, they had the Tank Bowl tonight between Milwaukee and Philadelphia. Interesting to see that Milwaukee kind of beat the brains out of of Philly. I should say beat the best of Philly, but I heard that, and I want this to happen so bad. You know, I want the actual lottery to change. They're not like the NFL, right? Where if you suck, you get the top pick. I mean, NFL is not like that, so it won't make it easy for teams to tank. But I don't know how you pull it off. But I mean, granted, the lottery is decent as it is. I just think that there has to be a deterrent to prevent teams from tanking. That's where I'm getting at, because they're professionals, and you know, and granted, you can't really blame the players, because this is the front office making those teams just making terrible decisions. I mean, you know, hell, look at Cleveland, for example. I mean, they got some young talent, but the chemistry is so horrible. I mean, to the point where they had to can their general manager because he couldn't fire his coach again. Mike Brown again. Well, he could, but he doesn't want to look bad again. But you know what I mean. So you have the case of Cleveland. I don't know what Joe Dumars is doing in Detroit. I mean, granted, I heard it was ownership. I think ownership has a hand in this. But Joe Dumars, it's just making him look bad because, granted, the people in Detroit are financially hit like are financially destitute, and you know they can't really go to games except as a Detroit Red Wings game. But I mean, the thing is, it's just a horrible scene. I mean, this is the same Pistons team that won championships in the late early '90s and early this decade. You know, it's just a bad scene. Of course, the Knicks. The Knicks. But but you get my point. I mean, it's just so many terrible front office decisions right in the West. It's like the way the NBA is supposed to be. You know, a lot of teams are competitors. And, you know, it's too bad that some of those Western Conference teams that are 7th and 8th place right now, they'll be the top three in the East. So I just wish that they could have a deterrent for tanking. I just wish they could. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I don't know. But what do you think of this proposal? And I'm just thinking of stuff right now. Remember when all that talk was about maybe shuffling the playoffs because the East was so bad outside of Indiana and Miami? It would be cool, but I don't think it will. For some reason, I don't think it will work, because maybe it's kind of like a shock, but hell, I tune in. Because why watch the horrible Eastern Conference playoffs until the Eastern Conference Finals? Might as well fast forward.
Yeah, I mean, the playoff situation, the scenario that was proposed, I still don't like it. I mean, you keep them separate for the reason that they are. You know, you keep them apart from each other and let the best of each conference make their way out. And I mean, you're going to have some bad series, you know, with, like, say if the playoffs started today, Indiana and Atlanta's playing, I don't think that's no fun. Charlotte and Miami,
right.
I think Charlotte might sneak and win a game, maybe not, and then after that, it is going to be competitive, you know, with the rest of the 3-6 and the 4-5 matchups, but, you know, it's just waiting for Miami and Indiana to play in the Eastern Conference Finals anyway. I mean, that's what everybody expected when the season started, so that's what we're going to end up most likely seeing anyway. But, I mean, you got a team like Toronto who's been playing very well this season, you know, surprising a lot of teams. And if the playoff format was the best 8 teams, they would miss out on the playoffs when, you know, they deserve to be there, because that's you know, they're in the Eastern Conference, and they're one of the top teams in the East. They're third in the East, but they wouldn't make the playoffs if they just took the best eight teams, which is, you know, hard to believe, but that's the way it would be. So I don't like that change. And as far as the draft, you know, I think the lottery is a deterrent for tanking, because if it was like the NFL, you know, Milwaukee would easily have the number one pick right now, and, you know, they would go in and grab whoever they want. But I think the lottery is the deterrent that they do have in place. I don't know if they could change it anymore, because we know the players aren't out there trying to lose, because, you know, that's the guy that's getting drafted that could be taking their spot. So they don't want to lose. But like you said, it's the ownership and management that's making those moves. And, you know, when you got a product out there with guys that's just not capable of winning, you're just not going to win. So, I mean, it's hard to really change that, and I really don't see it being much of a difference that you could possibly change but I mean, it is what it is. Teams are still going to lose in, you know, both of the major sports, in football and basketball. You know, teams are going to lose to try to get that best guy that they see being the guy to change their franchise around. And, you know, also with the standings and how it plays out, I've noticed over my lifetime, and I'm sure you've noticed too, it's rare that a team is just a mediocre team, just missing the playoff, eighth seed every year. They don't normally get better just like that. You know, it's those guys those teams that just suck, you know, just go from okay to just done, and then, you know, they turn it around. And that's the way it works for the most part. And, you know, with Cleveland, I've seen them building a team pretty much like Oklahoma City did a few years ago, but it just hasn't panned out for them. The chemistry is horrible, and, you know, they hired the worst coach in the NBA back to do whatever the heck he is that he's doing, and that isn't helping. I mean, we've seen how horrible they was with LeBron. LeBron basically had to take over that entire team by himself, and they made a run, and it made him look good, but the coach is horrible, and everyone knows it. It's no secret.
Well, you know, the thing is that proved it. Well, about Mike Brown, that proved that he's not much of a head coach when he was in L.A. Because Kobe ran that offense. He was the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
You know, he ran that offense. And, God bless him. I mean, they did well. I mean, granted, a good season for the Lakers is a championship, or at least make it a championship round. But they didn't even get to the Western Conference Finals that year. You know, they got beaten, I think, in five games by OKC. And the next year, when they somehow got the White House for some reason, things went from bad to worse, and his ass got canned. And a year and a half of ESPN, he's back in Cleveland, stuck in there. Cleveland's a hot mess. I mean, I don't wish ill will on people, because it's like bad form. I'm trying to be a good Christian these days. But Dan Gilbert, you're getting what you deserve, pal, from how you talked about LeBron James. Granted, LeBron could have handled the whole decision thing better. ESPN didn't have to beat up on his shot either. But still, all the smack Gilbert ran when LeBron left the South Beach, talking about they're gonna win a title before LeBron wins one in Miami. By the way, how'd that work out for him? But anyway, he's getting his just dessert, and, you know, hopefully we won't hear from that little numbska again. So that's just that. Speaking of a better conference, the Western Conference, you got a lot of good teams out there right now. The Thunder. San Antonio's still there. They're like father time. They're just hanging out. And, you know, you have the Clippers, who are doing great. I mean, I saw the game yesterday. It was like old school NBA all over again. There was the scoring and the alley-oops and the athleticism was just awesome, breathtaking to see. And Portland's there. Like Portland's an up-and-comer. Of course, Houston's doing their thing with Dwight Howard now that he's hopefully happier. So who do you have? How would you rank your Western Conference, your top five teams in the Western Conference? How would you rank them?
Well, my top five would be ranked off of who I feel are actually the best in the West. And not off
Got
the
it.
Record. So mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, of course, is going to be my number one. I'm going to put my Houston Rockets at number two. They've been playing the hottest lately. You know, they lost,
wow.
what, one game out of the past 10 games. Yeah, they,
mm-hmm.
that close game with Golden State was a good game. They just lost that, but that's the last game they lost in about 10-plus games. So, you know, they're playing
mm-hmm.
well. San Antonio is number three. I just don't get it. Those old people, they just continue to just win games. It's it's amazing to me.
That's
you know,
that's a why. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, you go to the Y, you got your young boys, and you think you're about to go in there and run the old head. They're just running everybody out the gym like, hold up. Like, yeah, that's who the San Antonio Spurs are. And Tim Duncan, you know, he's one of the best ever, and he just continues to get it done when he plays. And Ginobili, he's off and on, but they just find them ways to win, and it's amazing to me. And that's number three. Number four, I'm going Portland. Portland has been a surprise by many people. I don't know why. You know, I got a whole lot of slack before the season started when I put the Clippers I put the Trailblazers in my top 10 overall in the NBA, and everybody thought I was crazy. But I've seen the moves that they made, and, you know, last year they were pretty good. They just didn't have a bench, and, you know, they got some players in, and they've actually shown a whole lot of improvement. Damian Lillard made his first All-Star appearance, well-deserving, and they have a really good team. And then I put the Clippers at five. You know, they got Chris Paul back. He was injured for a little while. You know, and during that time, Blake Griffin has actually improved a lot. He stepped up big time and, you know, carried him while Chris Paul was out. And now Chris Paul is back. They're back to playing good basketball. And that's my top five right now in the West. And Golden State is close. They're creeping up behind.
So what did you think, and I'm not trying to change your mind here, but what did you think of the Clippers and Thunder game yesterday? I mean, it was great. It was a great game. You know, the Thunder made a run like near the end. When it seemed like the Clippers were going to run them out of their own gym. But it seems to me like, and this may be the Doc Rivers effect, that the Clippers are playing some of their best ball right now, and they're going to be a team to watch come playoff time.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody expected them to be one of the top teams in the West, you know, with the year they had last year, and then, you know, coming back this year and the upgrades they made. I mean, J.J. Redick being out, that's hurt them a lot, but, you know, because he was playing really well this year. And that messed up their whole dynamic of Jamal Crawford coming off the bench and being that fire plug off the bench. Now he's in the starting lineup and everything changes a little bit. But,
yeah,
I mean, they're playing well. I wouldn't say they're that hot. Everybody's been talking about how hot they are, but they're 500 in their last 10 games, so they're not playing that great. It's just they're just exciting to watch. And, you know, they win a game here and there, and they're just so exciting. You know, you get lost in the fact that they're not playing that well. But, I mean, when the playoffs come, you got a floor general like Chris Paul that's going to control the game, and you got Blake Griffin, you know, stepping up the way he's played lately and, you know, being able to score and rebound. And you got DeAndre Jordan, who I think sucks, but he's one of the best defenders in the league. You can't lie about it. You know, you got him down there protecting the paint. You got him protecting the paint. You know, you got a formula for winning there, and you know they have the coach. So I think they'll make a run. They're a team you don't want to play, you know, in the first or second round of the playoffs. And it's just going to be interesting going down the stretch to see the seeding in the West. That's what I'm ready to see, you know, these matchups that come about.
Right, and you know what? That's why. I mean, it sounds bad because I grew up an Eastern Conference guy. I told you I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah, growing up in North Carolina, I started to follow the Hornets a little bit before they moved to New Orleans. But I just remember those days, those old school, not really old school. I don't want to make myself sound too old, but the old school.
It's okay. It's old
90s,
school. It's old school. You could call it old school. I'm old school.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, the 90s when it was all about defense needs. I mean, you had the Knicks, the Bulls, the Hornets, the Bucks, the Pacers, the, you know, I could go on and on and on.
The Heat?
The Heat actually had a team back then, too.
Yeah. People thought that LeBron came to Miami. People forgot that it was actually a Miami Heat team before LeBron got there. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, people forgot that about Alonzo Mourning in his prime, if remember the Heat, Tim Hardaway Sr., Dan Marley. I mean, I could go on, right? I mean, I mean, Pat Riley coaching that squad. Shoot, those were some great games. But I mean, that's what the Western Conference is now. You know, you got all those teams, and we both mentioned Golden State. You know, Golden State is the typical, I guess, 6 or 7 seed, but they're a dangerous 6 or 7 seed. You know, those guys can shoot. Those guys are on, man. Splash Brothers. It's nice out, man. I mean, so you have all those teams, but I always say coaching, especially in professional sports, makes the biggest difference in the world when you have all these teams with talented rosters. And you mentioned Doc Rivers earlier, and, you know, Coach Pop, you kind of alluded to Coach Pop. And I think those two coaches, especially Coach Pop, coaches in the NBA, hands down. I mean, because you got Coach Pop, who has those Spurs, on Jared Tall and the AARP collecting checks, answers and everything else, they're doing their thing again. Yet again. I mean, it's just, I mean, Tim Duncan is like, he was born in the NBA. I mean, he's been in the NBA as long as I remember. But they're still doing their thing. And that's Coach Pop all the way, man. I mean, you can't – I mean, they're like the ultimate vampires. You can't kill them. You cannot kill these guys. I mean, it's just something to see. I mean, I don't hate San Antonio, but I respect the hell out of them because I just like the way they play. They're so fundamentally sound. They're so well coached and well run.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm a Rockets fan, so, you know, hating San Antonio would come easy to me, but I just can't hate them no matter what. I just can't do it. And, you know, Tim Duncan, he's just that perfect basketball player as far as, you know, on the court and his personality and everything he just does. He's just it's just a guy you can't hate. I don't know how somebody can say I don't like Tim Duncan. I just think it's something wrong with you if you say something like that. But, I mean, you know, San Antonio, they've been – under Pop for a long time, and he's just the model of winning. And, you know, with Brett Brown coming from that tree to Philadelphia, you know, I'm hoping and I believe that he will bring that same mentality to Philadelphia with the Sixers and, you know, grow a franchise of the same mold as the Spurs have been for years and years and years. So I just think, you know, those coaches that you said, like Popovich, hands down, is the best coach in the NBA, and I don't think it's even close second, honestly. And you know, but I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, San Antonio, they're aging, and you know they're still there. But I just don't see them as a legit title contender, honestly. I mean, they're there, they're going to fight, but I just can't see them winning anything.
Yeah, and because now in the Western Conference, so stacked. You know, I mean, granted, I think it's the San Antonio in the 2 spot right now, or they're in the 3 spot? I don't have the record.
Yeah, they're still in the 2. They're 2 games ahead of the Rockets.
Okay, they're
in
the 2 spot. Oh, gotcha. They're still in the 2 spot. So basically, when I'm thinking about matchups, I'm doing this off of memory right now, so feel free to check me. But, you got the OKC, San Antonio, Houston, I think the Clippers and I think the Trailblazers are the 5th or the 5 spot right now, I think.
Yes.
And I think it's Golden State. They got a better record than Phoenix, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, they just passed them last night, I think, the other day. Yeah, they just passed them. 6, Golden State 6 and Phoenix 7.
They're in the 7th spot, and I think Memphis in the 8. But
Dallas is the AC.
Dallas is the AC. Excuse me. Wow, Dallas is the AC. So basically, yeah, I know. Right? You got Mark Cuban in the first round against the Thunder. But, I mean, how about Phoenix, man? How about Phoenix? Coming out of nowhere.
Man,
Jeff Hornacek, man, what's up?
They have surprised the heck out of me. I'll be the first to admit it. You know, I was a big Dragic fan when he was in Houston, and I knew what he was capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was capable of carrying a team that sucked so bad last year, which he just couldn't do it last year. And, you know, this year, you know, Bledsoe came in, and them two together were just lighting it up early this year. And, you know, I'm surprised, but they've actually been playing very well. And Gerald Green, after 50 years in the NBA, seems like finally has, you know, gotten that confidence that he can go out there and be a good player. And he's been playing well. And even without Bledsoe, who was a big part of their early season success, they still been able to go out there and compete and win games. And, you know, honestly, you don't want to play that team in the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, San Antonio, I think, you know, teams like that has issues, that has some aging, you know, at the point guard spot, you know, you never want to play a crafty, fast point guard. So I think it's going to be a tough out, whoever plays, if they actually end up making it into the playoffs, because, you know, Memphis has been creeping up slowly.
Right.
And I think Minnesota might try to make a run for an eighth seed as well. So it's a lot of basketball yet to be played, but I'm excited. I'm just really excited. And, you know, I'm hoping Dallas, you know, can continue to play a little better and get up there. I wouldn't mind seeing them make another run. I don't know why. I'm a Rockets fan, but I just can't hate these guys. I'm a Dirk fan as well. So it's hard. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Well, you know, I'm a bigger Mark Cuban fan because he hates David Stern. I don't like David Stern. So Cuban will always have a soft spot in my heart. Actually, the commissioner I hate more than Stern is Roger Goodell. But we won't talk about that fool tonight. we won't talk about him tonight. There'll be plenty of time for us to talk about him, but it won't be tonight. So basically, you have all these good teams in the West, right? And so, you know, most of those teams did not do much near the trade deadline. At the trade deadline, the biggest trade actually came from the East when Indiana shipped Danny Granger to the Tanking Sixers. For Evan Turner and company. So what do you think of that trade? Like, I was feeling a little bit because, you know, Granger, he's working his way back from an injury, and he's no longer the man on the squad. That'd be Paul George. But at the same time, I started thinking about it a little bit more. Indiana had such a good thing going. You know, they had still had the best record in the East, I think. But, that it may run the risk of upsetting chemistry just a little bit, because even though Granger was coming off the bench, I mean, he was filling his role pretty well as a scorer off the bench. But what would you get exactly with Evan Turner? I mean, he's a decent player. He has all the potential in the world, but people hadn't been feeling him since he came to the Sixers as a second overall pick in that draft a few years ago. So how would you grade that trade the Pacers made with the Sixers?
I graded an A-plus for both teams, actually. You know, the Sixers, they're obviously in tank mode, so they wanted to get rid of, you know, their players that they were, you know, good players, you know, guys that were going to demand some money. And they got rid of their players. They got some draft picks, and they got more cap space, so they're in a good position, you know, moving forward. And Indiana, you know, Danny Granger, like you said, he was coming back, and he was starting to get back into a little flow, but – you know, it's Paul George's team now, and Danny Granger is just the guy in the back. And one thing I have learned, I don't care what decision it is, whatever Larry Bird does, it just seems to work. So I'm just going to automatically assume he knows what he's doing. And I'm personally a big fan of Evan Turner. And, you know, all the crap that I hear about him in Philly, it annoys me, honestly, because he's not as bad as everybody tries to make him out to be. You know, he's on a horrible team, and that's just the fact of the matter. But, you know, I think he's going to be a great fit, you know, in Indiana. And, you know, coming into this offseason, it's going to be a decision they're going to have to make, you know, between, you know, letting Evan Turner stay around or, you know, spending the money on Lance Stevenson. So, I mean, it's a good move for right now. And I honestly picked Indiana to take the East before the season started. And right now with that move, I say there's no way possible that he beat the Pacers in the playoffs this year.
Wow, call your shot. So basically, Dwayne Wade coming off strong from the fan, and you still think this is the Pacers' talent?
Oh yeah, I mean the Wayne Wade. Oh man, he's one of the best shooting guards to ever play the game of basketball. I can admit that, but you know his knees aren't the same, and you know he has his spurts where, you know, all the aging superstars, they all have their spurts at moments in their late in their career when, you know, it's like, oh wow, it's the old Dwayne Wade, and then he disappears again, and that's what I see happening. You know, Chris Bosh, he's up and down because of his role on the team. You know, he has the talent to go out there and be that guy he was in Toronto, but that's not his role on his team because of LeBron and Wade. But you know, I just don't see LeBron, you know, carrying his team by himself again, because pretty much that's what he did in the playoffs last year. I mean, Wade had one good game, and Bosh, you know, he had a couple good games, but for the most part, it was the other role players that stepped up, and those weren't the guys that did it. So LeBron, he's not playing as great as he was last year. Last year was just unbelievable how great he played. And this year, you know, his numbers are down, but his field goal percentage is up. But, I mean, he can't continue to do it by himself out there. And I think the Pacers' defense and, you know, like we were talking about a little bit ago, Lance Stephenson, his emergence this year and the confidence that he's out there playing with, I just think it's going to be too much for them to handle, honestly. And Evan Turner, you know, he can play some ball. He can play some ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fact. He's going to come off the bench. He's another guy that can handle the ball a little bit. And, you know, George Hill in their point guard situation last year, I think, was one of their main factors on why they lost last year, because you got a guy like Shane Battier guarding David West, who's a monster in the post all game, and you don't feed him the ball. You gotta pick your spots as the point guard. You have to know, okay, right now I got a mismatch. I gotta take advantage of it. And you know they didn't do that last year, and I think they're going to be focused on more so doing that this year.
And wow, that's well said, because maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. You know, I sometimes fall in that mindset. The way he played, he being Dwayne Wade I'm talking about, the way he played against OKC when Russell Westbrook came back, it was pretty much, he had over 20 points. He had over 24 points, I think. And fast forward to yesterday's game against the Bulls, he and Bosh at one point had 67 of the team's points, I think it was early in the fourth quarter. Because it was a low-scoring game. It was kind of those little reminders that they do call those cats the big three for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, obviously Bosh is the third banana of that big three, but dude can play. You know, he had, to your point, he had good games in the playoffs last year. And even though, like, people say that Ray Allen saved their bacon against the Spurs in game six, with a big shot, but I think, you know, I'm like Ric Flair. I won't go woo on you, but to be when Ric Flair said to beat a man, you gotta beat the man.
Mm-hmm.
So until the Pacers beat the man, that's the Heat. And I love the Pacers. Credit. I mean, I love this Pacers team. I love the fact that they're hungry. I love the fact that they're talking smack towards the Heat. I love the fact that they hate the Heat. And I love the fact that they said, we're coming for you guys. I love that about them. They're young, they're brawny, they're big, they're strong, they're fierce. I just want to see them do it. This is, to me, I agree with you. I'll come out of the stairs. I picked the Pacers to push the Heat to seven games this season. I almost flipped to pick the Pacers to represent these, but I didn't man up at the last minute. But I think – if the Pacers do not do it this year, if they don't do it this year, I don't know if they'll ever mentally be able to do it, if you know what I'm saying. Because the Pacers, to me, they know they can play with these guys, the Heat. It's a matter of actually applying it. And you know, I mean, because all teams go through this. All past champions go through this. The Pacers had to go through it with the Boston Celtics back in the late 80s, early 90s. The Bulls had to go through with the Bad Boy Pistons, you know. And if you go you can go to the NFL, right? The Ravens had to go through with the Steelers for years before they broke through. Every team had to go through a rival to get to the promised land. That's just the way it is in professional sports. And right now we're seeing it right now before our eyes. Indiana thinks this is their time. Great. Go beat the Heat in the playoff series. Prove it. So this is the I agree with you, this is the Pacers' time. They got the team to do it. It's a matter of will they do it? And we'll have to see.
Yeah, that's the big question. And you know, as much as we can like the Pacers team and all that, you know, Miami is a champion. They're still the team to beat, and that's just the fact of the matter, regardless of how you feel about the players. You know, you got all the LeBron haters out there and, you know, everything like that, but they're still the team to beat. They're still the champions, and they're still being the playoffs representing the Miami Heat, and they're going to fight, and they're going to go out there, and they're going to try their best to win another championship. And you know, like you said, if the Pacers don't manage to do it this year, I think it is going to be a lot of mental angst on them, but I honestly don't see the Miami Heat Big Three, you know, being together next year. Honestly, I think this is the last run for them. I think they're going to get their three-peat, and I think that's it. I don't know if LeBron's staying, honestly. I'm not going to say he is. I'm not going to say he isn't. I just don't know if he's staying. And, you know, Dwayne Wade, you know, he's having his moments right now, but his knees are shot. I mean, it's pretty evident that he's at the end of his career, even though he's not that old. But, you know, his style of play over his career, he was aggressive. He jumped a lot. You know, he hit the floor an awful lot. So his body is wearing down on him because of the beating that he's took. And, you know, it's just that time, you know. And I just don't see that team moving forward with the same roster. And, you know, Ray Allen, I'm pretty sure this is probably his last year. And no matter how many minutes he plays, you know, he's winding down his career. And, you know, I just don't see this team going forward after this year being that same exact Heat team. And, you know, if LeBron leaves, the Heat are going to suck. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you have so many questions surrounding it. I mean, because, you know, you don't know if Chris Bosh will be brought back. You don't know what's going to happen with Dwayne Wade and his bulky knees. And LeBron's always going to be a question mark as far as where he's going to be next year, because we all know he's going to opt out. So so the question is, where would LeBron go? Where could he go? Let's just play fantasy GM for a minute. Where could LeBron go salary cap-wise and just best overall fit for his quest to win more rings?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's what's so difficult about it. You know, maybe, you know, he can end up going to Chicago like, you know, many expected the Big Three to do prior. You know, it was a lot of talk of them going to team up with Derrick Rose in Chicago. Maybe he could go to Chicago, you know, Los Angeles. You know, Kobe Bryant is pretty much at the end of his career as well, and they always find a way to stay relevant. You know, they'll figure something to do, you know, to get LeBron there. Then you got Cleveland, who, you know, people talk about him going back home and, you know, him rebuilding his legacy back in Cleveland. And if he goes back to Cleveland and wins a ring in Cleveland, you know, people are going to say he's the greatest ever. It doesn't matter how many more he wins. They're just going to say it. So that's for him being able to do that. But, I mean, I've even seen rumors, you know, floating around through ESPN, of all places, that he might end up going to Philly, which is just ironically stupid to me. But they have the money. They have some young talent. You know, it could be done. They have the cap space to do it. I just don't see such a dumb thing happening. But, you know, it's some teams out there. But, you know, wherever he goes, the team is going to become better. He's just that good of a player. And, you know, you can hate on him all you want. I'm actually becoming a little bit of a hater. You know, I think he's talking a little bit too much nowadays, and he's just not as humble as he used to be. He's just a little bit too much in the media. You hear too much going on besides, you know, his play on the court, which was his staple his whole career. Now it's just too much talk. But, you know, he's still got the talent. Wherever he's at, they're going to be a much better team.
Who said – do you remember who on ESPN said that there's a rumor about him going to Philly, of all places? Do you remember who said that?
I don't remember who said it. You know, I refused to read the article because it was just too asinine to even waste my time reading it.
I just want to know who the goober was who actually let that fly out of his pie hole. That's why I want to just, I just want to know who the hell would say that out loud. You know what I'm saying? That's just, I mean, yeah, anyway, we won't talk about that clown anymore. But from the good to the bad to the ugly, it's all about teams that did not make trades in the trade deadline, which we thought would. Why weren't Carmelo Anthony and Paul Gasol traded from the Knicks and the Lakers, respectively? Why are they still on the rosters? Why are they still around? Why are they still around on two bad teams?
Well, you being a Knicks fan, I couldn't tell you what's going on in New York. Carmelo, one of the best scorers ever to play the game, but he's just not that guy. And you know, as hard as it is to come to the realization of that after him coming out of Syracuse and looking like he just was that guy that's going to be able to carry a team in the NBA, he just hasn't been able to do it. And that team, they made the moves when they brought him over there to pair him with Amari Stoudemire was a bad move. They just didn't mix well together. Then, they bought Tyson Chandler from the championship-winning Mavericks. And he played okay. He played well. They just don't have the chemistry. They don't have the coach either. I think Mike Woodson is a horrible coach as well, but that's another story. And, I don't know why they didn't trade him. Maybe they let him and his – pre-deadline talk about him wanting to stay and him taking a pay cut and his wife talking about his heart's hair and all that crap. They think they're going to resign him. I mean, Carmelo's not going to win the championship unless he pairs up with somebody. And it, as odd as that is, that's the way the NBA is nowadays. Back in the day, back in our old school days, guys wasn't going to go play on teams with people. They was winning by themselves. Although they didn't win by themselves, that's the mentality they had. They wasn't going, Magic wasn't going to go play with Bird to go win a championship. It was like, I hate that guy, and I'm going to do whatever I got to do to beat him. Nowadays, everybody's too friendly. They're too buddy-buddy, and that's just not the mindset no more. And it's, big two, big three pairing up and going out there and trying to win the championship. But I don't know what New York was thinking. They should have at least got something. I think he'll probably stay, but they're not going to win anything. It's time to blow it up. That's where they're at right now, personally. They need to blow it up.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, all the hype coming into the season, they just haven't been well, and they have no point guard at all. They got 16 point guards on the roster, and none of them can play, and they just need to blow the team up. And as far as the Lakers are concerned, as far as the Lakers are concerned, I don't know if Kobe Bryant had to talk with somebody and say, I'm coming back and I want Powell, and that's the end of it. That's all I could think could possibly happen, because I think they're at that same point as well. The Lakers are always going to find a way to be relevant. But right now they're the worst team in the West. They're under Utah. They're under Sacramento. They're the worst team in the Western Conference.
That's just pathetic.
When was the last time you could hear such a thing? And that's where they are right now. And,
I remember the Lakers being last in the Western Conference, period. Not even in the Pacific Division. I don't remember them being in the division last in anything. This is new to me.
I don't even remember that back when Chris Mim was their center and Smush Parker was the point guard. they weren't even that bad then. And this right here, this is horrible. And Paul Gasol, he's a champion. He went out there, he played his part for a championship winning team, and it was just time to let him go, and they didn't do it. I don't know why. I think it all has to be Kobe. Honestly, that's my only thing I could possibly think of, was that Kobe said, "I want this guy on my team, and next year we're going to go out and like with a bang," and that's just the way it is. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Both of those teams should have made trades. I think it's time for both of those teams to blow it up and, start over.
Right.
And that's pretty much what the Lakers have done. Since, Kobe has been injured, they have a whole bunch of nobodies on their team. So, I don't know why they didn't make a move, but we'll see what happens. Kobe, he's planning on coming back this year, and for no reason. I mean, I honestly don't see the point of him coming back, but, he's a fierce competitor, and we all know that. He's going to go out there and give it his all. Because that's what he does, but I think it's stupid for him to come back at all this year and, let them suck, get a nice good draft pick. Don't come back and lead them to some victories when they got a chance of getting a nice young prospect, because they're right now, I think they're about fourth. I think they're about fourth or fifth you know, as far as draft positioning is concerned. So they're going to get a top five pick. Kobe comes back and wins some games. They end up at the eighth seed. They just could have lost out on the top prospect. So, I mean, I don't think he should come back. And if I was the ownership, I don't care who he is. I'm not letting him come back. But, you know, Kobe runs the Lakers organization right now, so we all know that.
There you go. He has the power. He has the hammer. And poor Jim Buss, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But at any rate, we got to do this again, brother. We got to do this again. I had a lot of fun. It's good talking to you for the first time. We see each other on Twitter almost all the time. We hadn't had a chance to really reach out to each other. So thank you very much, man. And we'll talk again once the NBA playoffs get going.
Oh, most definitely. And I definitely appreciate you having me on. It was definitely a fun time. And, you know, love talking sports. And we'll do it again.
You got it, brother. All right, take care.
All right, you too.
Bye. All right, peace. That's my man, Daniel Twarik. Check him out on sportshoundblog.com. Lots of good stuff, lots of great NFL, lots of great NBA. And we'll be talking to his brother again pretty soon. But, yeah, I mean, to his point about the Knicks, the Lakers, it's time for them to blow it up, man. It's time to blow it up because those both teams suck. My Knicks suck. I don't remember the Lakers being last in anything, let alone last place in the Western Conference. And them not moving the stars, I mean, particularly New York, I mean, I don't think we'll be able to resign Melo. I think we'll lose for nothing. But who knows? I mean, that's why the Knicks are the way they are. But anyway, this is Scott Burks with the Clown Hour. Thank you very much for listening. Take care. Peace out. 06. Take care.